Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. When the inspired men of the Bible preached their subject was Jesus Christ. Over and over they told mankind the story of Jesus and all the things that are related to him. And this is what constitutes the preaching of the gospel of Christ. The first four books of the New Testament reveal the life of Jesus Christ. It is not entirely accurate to speak of the four gospels, however, because there's only one gospel. We do have four records of his life on earth, and actually these records are so brief that they barely qualify to be called biographies. They cover only a small portion of the things concerning him, the things which he said and that he did. Other than the final week before his crucifixion, the book of John records events in only 25 other days of his life. Of the 3.5 years of his ministry on earth, only about 10% of those days are even mentioned. There are huge gaps in the record of his entire life. As John wrote, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." John 20, 30 and 31. And John further wrote, "And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written." John 21 and verse 25. Well, from these passages, we can know that we have only a limited supply of information concerning him. But we can also be confident that we have what God considered adequate to create faith in Christ as his Son, to prove his identity as his Son, and to show that he is the Savior of the world. Now, of course, these four books are not the only source of information we have concerning Christ. However, we have prophetic utterances and references to him in the Old Testament. They teach us about Christ. Other books in the New Testament also gives us pieces of information. They enlarge our understanding of him. There is a scarcity of uninspired books written during that period of history that tell us much, if anything, about him that we can't know and can't have confidence that's not in the Scriptures. Therefore, to learn of Christ, we turn to the Bible. To learn of his ministry on earth, we turn to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Our study will be limited. It will be in summary form. We plan to present 7 different lessons in sequence to present the story of Jesus. Now, we hope that each one will be a unit within itself, but we do hope that you will have the opportunity to hear all 7. And to hear what the Word of God has to say about Jesus the Christ. We're going to exclude a discussion about his pre-existence with God before his incarnation, before he took on the form of flesh. We will also have only passing references to the many, many prophetic references concerning him. We're going to begin with the angel's announcement of the coming of the birth of John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ. And we're going to continue through his ascension back into heaven. And the lessons are presented with the hope that these abbreviated accounts of the life of Christ on earth will benefit both young and old, as well as those who possibly have never seriously studied Christ. It may prove to be a valuable introduction and motivating force that will encourage a deeper and richer study of the Savior of mankind and his will, as it is presented in all the 27 books of the New Testament. It is essential that we acquaint ourselves with divine revelation concerning the one on whom we must depend for a successful life here and a glorious existence in heaven in eternity. Now, dear friend, we'll not refer to the specific passages of Scripture that are involved except on rare occasions. But we would indeed encourage the reader to secure for himself a reliable harmony of the first four books. This will expand his study of the story of Jesus. But let us begin. There are some 66 sections that we're going to consider. And the first is the birth of John the Baptist. The story of Christ begins with the story of John. It was the time of the morning sacrifice, and the priests would perform their task according to the assigned time. Zacharias was one of those priests. His wife was named Elizabeth. The Bible says they were righteous, they were blameless, they were people who walked in the commandments of the Lord. Now, they were stricken in years, and Elizabeth had been barren all her days. And yet, during the time that Zacharias was performing his priestly duties, he was visited by an angel who told him of the coming birth of a son, and his name was to be called John. And as a sign of this event, the angel said Zacharias would not be able to speak until the son was born. He was also told of the work that John was to do, and how that he would go forth in the spirit and the power of Elijah, calling people to repentance, announcing the coming of the kingdom, making ready a people prepared for the Lord. And number two, the biblical scene shifts from Jerusalem to Galilee and to Nazareth. The angel Gabriel appeared unto Mary, who was betrothed to Joseph. Now both of them were descendants of David. He was a carpenter, and their means were very modest, possibly even poor. This we determine from the kind of sacrifices that they offered, which were the sacrifices of the poor. And even though they were bound to each other, they had not yet come together as husband and wife. Mary was a virgin. She was told of the son that was to be born unto her, and his identity, his name, and how he was the fulfillment of God's promise through the Davidic lineage. He was the hope of Israel. And having difficulty to accept the announcement because she was a virgin, nonetheless she humbled herself before God, and it soon became apparent that she was with child. She then visited her cousin Elizabeth, the one who would give birth to John. We read of the great words of praise that she spoke when she was on this visit. Meanwhile, Joseph was very perplexed and disturbed and suspected infidelity on the part of Mary. But he was informed by an angel otherwise, and was told that the child of Mary was of God. His mind set at ease, and dismissing his plans to put her away, being reassured by information from God, he recognized this as the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy of Isaiah 7 and verse 14 concerning the virgin that would bear a child. In the near time, John the Baptist was born and circumcised according to the law of Moses. And even though some suggested he be named after his father said he was to be named John, as the angel had instructed. And at his birth, Zacharias was no longer without ability to speak, and many words of praise were offered to God. Section 3. The Birth of Christ. A census of the people was commanded by the Roman Emperor, Augustus Caesar. It was for the purpose of taxation, and each was to be enrolled in their ancestral home area, which for Joseph and Mary was Bethlehem. This meant that though they lived in Nazareth, they had to make the journey from Nazareth in the north to Bethlehem in the south, a distance of some 80 miles. And while the journey must have had its difficulties for Mary, being great with child, they arrived only to find there was no room for them in the inn. Time came for Mary to be delivered, and they found lodging in a stable. She brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger. The announcement of his birth was given to shepherds who were tending their flocks. Angelic hosts appeared, singing, "Glory to God in the highest." And these shepherds then visited the stable where the child was, and going out thereafter and telling what they had seen and heard. On the eighth day, Jesus was circumcised, he being a Jew. And after 31 days, he was presented in the temple according to the law about the firstborn. There were also rituals of purification for the mother and sacrifices and offerings that were made. The family of three were met at the entrance by one named Simeon, who had been promised that he would not see death until he had seen the Messiah. His words of rejoicing are recorded for us in Luke chapter 2. Also we have the record of Christ being seen by a woman named Anna, who served the Lord in the temple. It is recorded how she gave thanks to the Lord, as did Simeon, and spake of him to others. Section 4. The Journey to Egypt and Nazareth. Wise men had seen the star denoting the birth of the Messiah and followed it into Palestine, coming to Jerusalem to pay homage to the child. They first made inquiry of his whereabouts from Herod. The scribes told Herod of the prophecy that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. Herod asked the wise men to locate the child on the deceptive plea that he also wished to worship the child. For the wise men followed the star to where Jesus was. Now this event probably occurred maybe as long as 2 years after the birth of Jesus, this being suggested due to the slaughter of babies by Herod from 2 years old and younger at a later time. But whatever of that, these wise men brought gifts, and having completed their purpose, they returned to their own country another way rather than informing Herod where Jesus was, being so instructed by God. But Herod still sought the life of the child, and this reckless tyrant instigated an indiscriminate slaughter of children around Bethlehem 2 years old and younger. And this was in fulfillment of prophecy that had been called the lamentation of Rachel for her children. But the child Jesus escaped, because Joseph, being warned in a dream to flee into Egypt with the child and his mother, this too was the result of another fulfillment of prophecy, "Out of Egypt have I called my son." The length of stay in Egypt was probably brief, but we have no revelation how long it was. But events soon allowed Joseph and Mary and Jesus to return to the land of Palestine. But they were told to go into the land, but prudently avoid Bethlehem and Jerusalem. And rather, they went to their home in Nazareth. This was yet another fulfillment of prophecy, how Jesus would be called a Nazarene. Well, section 5. His life in Nazareth. We have actually very little information about the life of Jesus until he reached manhood, therefore very little about his life in Nazareth, where he resided until 30 years of age. He was doubtless a carpenter by trade, as had been Joseph. He was once called a carpenter. Jewish fathers gave their sons a trade by which they could earn their livelihood, and usually it was their own trade that they passed to their sons. The most comprehensive statement we have about his life in Nazareth was that, as he was growing toward physical maturity, is found in Luke 2:52, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man." Now, when we realize the limited revelation about his earthly life, and when we understand that the record is not simply to give us his life, but to show his identity, we can more readily comprehend the void of information of those years that were not directly concerned with his divinely appointed mission. There is one event, however, of significance, and that was his visit to the temple when he was 12 years of age, going to Jerusalem with Mary and Joseph. Among the Jews, you see, when one reached that age of 12, they assumed certain religious obligations, such as attending the feast. At the time of his visit, the land had relative calm. Archelaus had been banished, the territory was governed by Roman governors, it was the time of the Passover, and it seems that the family remained in Jerusalem the entire Passover week. And when Mary and Joseph started their return from Jerusalem to Nazareth, they just assumed that Jesus was among their traveling companions. And when they realized he was not yet with them, they returned to Jerusalem and sought for him for 3 days. And when they found him, he was in the temple. And that might not be too surprising, but what he was doing did surprise them. Jesus was discussing the law of Moses with the doctors and the lawyers. And when they asked him why he had not come with them, he simply said, "Know ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" But then he did submissively return with them and remained in Jerusalem until near the age of 30. Section 6. The Voice in the Wilderness. For a moment, we must turn our attention once again to John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ. John was about 6 months older than Jesus, which means he was about 30 years old at the period we are now considering. In appearance, in manner, in ministry, he was likened unto the Old Testament prophet Elijah, with his leathern girdle and his coat of camel's hair, eating locusts and wild honey, living out in the wilderness, and teaching a message that was very precise and direct and often condemning in nature. John came preaching in the wilderness that the kingdom of heaven was at hand, which meant it was nearby, it was soon to be. He was also calling the people to repentance, baptizing those who believed in the coming Messiah, and that for the remission of sins. His message demanded evidence of repentance. This, of course, provoked opposition from some, especially then when he preached that one could no longer rely on his ancestry to be counted as children of God. Now, this the Jews had been doing, and properly so, for some 15 centuries. But under the will of Christ, that case no longer would be true. Those who wished to be the children of God would have to alter their sinful lives. The rituals and traditions that were being taught and were being bound by the Pharisees were not what this people was supposed to obey. And then section 7, the baptism of Jesus. John was baptizing in the Jordan River. Jesus came to John and asked to be baptized. Now his purpose was not for the remission of sins, as John was baptizing, because Jesus had no sin. The purpose for his being baptized was to fulfill all righteousness. Righteousness refers to the commandments of God, Psalms 119, verse 172. And while we do not have the record where God commanded Jesus to be baptized, by implication we know that he was so commanded and Jesus obeyed. John at first objected to the request of Jesus to baptize him. He stated that Jesus ought to baptize him. But Jesus insisted and John complied. And when Jesus came from the water, a voice from heaven was heard that confessed, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And the Holy Spirit descended upon him as would a dove. Then Jesus was led into the wilderness for a series of temptations. When we begin our second lesson, we will start with section number 8, when Jesus was tempted by the devil. I hope that you'll have the opportunity to hear the continuing story of Jesus. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.